Hi, I'm Jenny.
And I'm Margaret.
And we're your hosts of the Dear Future Self podcast, where I help you heal your heart and master your mind.
And I help you create more time and money freedom by helping you uncover and heal your money blocks.
Welcome to the show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's episode.
Hello, hello, hello. Good to have you all with us again.
We have someone special on again today. We're super excited about this. We love connecting with like-minded people and to share another story. And Melissa, we just like to have fun here. So we laugh it up, maybe cry it up, whatever comes up, we're just go with the flow.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. So Melissa, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit, what you do, and then we'll go from there and get into your journey and so on.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Hello. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. I am so elated to be here. Thank you so much, Jenny. Thank you so much, Margaret. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So we actually met through a beautiful space online before. So it's really awesome to reconnect with both of you and to have me here. It's amazing. We've talked about doing something like this for a little bit. So it's been, it feels really good.
Yeah. Totally.
It feels really good. But yeah, so I am Melissa. I am the one. I speak about the one. I hold and really talk about the sacredness and the divinity of being the one as a person, and being the one that embraces ourselves whole. As you can see, I did not speak on who I spoke to, especially for example, I didn't put myself in a box like women or this, that. But I really feel like when we talk about the one is we can talk about it in a universal language, being that we are the ones choosing ourselves, no matter what gender we are, no matter where we are in our world, we can really choose ourselves. So that's something that I do and that I speak about as well. I also am a mom. I also work full time. So I'm doing a little bit of everything at this current moment in my phase of lifing. But I'm actually having a lot of fun with that as well. So thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So, awesome.
So beautiful. So beautiful. I love that. So question for you then, let's dig right in then. Sounds like you have a lot going on in your life and everything. And, you know, as, busy moms and all that, we have a lot going on, but so let me ask you a question. When did your journey begin? Like at what stage, how many years ago, when did you start tapping in to a different way, like a different life? You know what I mean?
Yes, of course. Yeah. So it has been over a decade. I would feel like I was when my journey really started, when I really wanted to lose weight. So it was something that's actually different than many, many of us. I mean, no, I think we all kind of have a starting place where we look at it and we're like, that's kind of where we wanted. I was really young when I really wanted to start something, and it actually started physically. It actually was something that became life-changing because it was around me losing weight, and it was about me, you know, being obsessed with that to begin with, just because of the bullying that I had endured during the time that I was little. I also was in a really big survival mode because I had been in foster care for many years. I had, I had an alcoholic parent in the household who then my mom actually divorced from. And there was just a lot of different internal family things going on. So then I felt like during that time, losing weight for me became something that I became obsessed with because I needed something to be able to control. So one of my biggest things was my weight at that time. I didn't know it then. Of course, I was 13, 14 years old when it really started. But of course, I began to really love the way people spoke to me and how different it was. I was now the beautiful one. I was now, my braces were off. I still had glasses, but it became something that I was now doting for myself. And it was actually something that in many ways, At first it was positive, right? Because I was able to be active. I was able to now talk about myself and talk to myself, seeing myself as like, I am worthy of, you know, doing this for me. And then of course, after all the survival mode that I was in my whole entire childhood for so many years, about 7 or 8 years, I really was like, okay, now it's my turn to like put me first and to see myself as such. But it actually went the opposite way, right? I became so obsessed with it. I became so hyper focused on how many calories I would have, so hyper focused on how much exercise I would do. So I would be at the gym for hours. I would also be really, really, really hyper focused on the amount of food I was eating. When I say that, I would like think about it 24/7. A lot of my thoughts were around my body and all of this. So it actually became something very negative for a couple of years, even though it looked like it was something positive, right? So I'm actually telling this story because even though I had this, you know, it's so interesting when you have something positive in your life that actually allows yourself to put yourself first, that shows you that you can put yourself first, that you are worthy of it. Sometimes it could also be something kind of like an awakening, right? Where you kind of start to notice like, oh, this is something that's really good for me. But then years down the line, you're like, wait a minute, but I didn't do it for the right reasons. And I wasn't actually embracing myself. I actually wasn't saying that I was the one in choosing me. It actually was me trying to just have and gain control over things, and protecting myself. At the end of the day, you know, I was protecting myself, my being, my body. And I felt like through exercise, through actually protecting at least my weight, I was able to actually have some control over my life just because I hadn't for so long. So it kind of started there. And then as the years kind of went by, I started noticing that, you know, maybe what I was doing wasn't actually something positive for myself. You know, even though that I really was in love with fitness, I really was in love with nutrition, I really was in love with the health like spectrum and the health, you know, like the whole thing, I really was like, this is actually not healthy for me. Like, this is actually something that might actually be tearing me down. And that I was 19 by then. So, you know, I had many years of habits that I have really put out there that were seen as healthy, that were seen as good in the world, right? That were seen as something positive, that were seen as motivation, and that were seen as something that is like a dedicated person. And I started noticing that I actually didn't feel really happy with myself, that I actually was more of a, like, it was like a shield of who I was. So I started noticing that about me. And a lot of people say that I really started kind of my awakening very early in age, but it was also because I felt like I lived so many lifetimes already. So I didn't really feel like I was young or anything by that time. But about 19, I really started noticing that I really didn't actually love myself. I didn't actually really preach what I actually spoke about, because, you know, I was motivational and I was inspirational and I was saying all of these wonderful, beautiful things to all my beautiful women clients, specifically that I worked with, even male clients. And I was telling them they were enough. I was, you know, showing them that, you know, they can do it. Everything was possible through fitness, through saying yes to themselves, when actually I wasn't actually saying yes to me in reality. You know, I was saying it like yes to me, but only in the space if I was able to check this off, right? For example, if I was able to check off the list of how much weight did I lose, or how good I looked in XYZ, how many compliments I received XYZ, you know, like all these things that at the end were just trivial. They were like really not me loving me at the end of the day. So about 19,
you were 19 when you were doing this, like, thing.
Yes,
you were uplifting people at 19.
Yeah. It became actually a little bit before. So I was still in high school when it happened. So I think I was, yes. So when I say this, when I tell this story, people are like, what? But yeah, because again, I felt like I lived lifetimes before. So when I was in foster care, I was in foster care from 7 to about 13 years old. So that already was, you live a lifetime right then and there, 6 years, oh, right? Wow. So it, I went through so much through this process. I went through a lot in my childhood that as I was older, I was always the one that actually people went to. And I was actually always the one that people asked advice from. And I always was like, why? But as I've learned, it's because of who I am. And also I do feel like I am an old soul where, you know, there's, I'm like X age, but actually the lifetimes that I've lived, I have so much that I can give. So I've learned really early in my life that, you know, it was on me to embrace that, you know? So like about 17 years old, I felt like it was on me to embrace a little bit more of that. So when my high school career ended, that's where I really began to really see, okay, I am making some choices in my life that may not be actually beneficial for me in the long run of my life, of what I want to see myself for, right? I want to see myself as a woman that actually stands up for herself. I want to see myself for the woman that actually does choose herself and not only says she does, but she actually really makes that headway to really choose herself. And not only that, I really wanted to change the generational, you know, history that I've had with all of the people that were in my life previously to me and my family that only knew what they knew. But I also wanted to be different because I did see myself one day as being a mom. I did see myself one day being an inspiration to others in a bigger way, you know, in a bigger impact. I just didn't know how that looked like just yet. So around that time, that's where I really started kind of stepping back from physical fitness only and started really focusing now more on the emotional side. You know, I went to, I went through a lot of therapists and I went through many years of therapy because of foster care and all these years, and they supported me in a lot of ways emotionally, but I never really saw the impact it had with how I saw myself with my weight, my worth, my enoughness, you know, my deserving, my embrace of who I was. And finally, at around 20, I was about 20, 21 years old when I started really noticing how that impacted me in my life. And, you know, the friendships that I had, the things that I have chosen in my life, it really started being like, wow, it's because of me. Like, how I see myself, how I view myself, how I actually, you know, interact with my own self at my own time, it really changes like how others speak to me or how life just kind of just reacts to me, right?
Self-concept. So, yep.
So yeah, so that's kind of a lot. So that's like a big, big happen. But think about this. This was like in years. This was like for me being like about 14 years old, really doing all this until I was like 21. So like my emotional awakening, you would say, like my spiritual awakening really was at 20, 21 years old. But really, I began the journey like before that with the physical fitness and stuff like that. So yeah, that's fun.
So you're saying your spiritual journey, that emotional journey started about 20, 21 years old.
Yes.
And so it started by you going inward and starting to realize, you know, the concept of how you view yourself. That's how others view you, right? Like the world's a mirror to how you truly view yourself, which is self-concept. What were your next steps? So like you're sitting there, you're this baby. This 21 year old baby, right? Because now you look back and you're like, shit, what the fuck? They can barely tie their damn shoes at that age, right? I mean, my son's 21 years old. So like you're a baby, but like you said, like physically baby, but definitely in mentally completely different space. But what were the next steps like in that thought process of like, okay, I know this now, something is clicking for me. Where do I go from here?
Yeah, so when the clicking occurred for me, I felt like, okay, it's time for me to go inward. And that's when I started really noticing my habits. I started really noticing what I did. I really started noticing the people that I, spoke with, the actions that I would take in my life and the reasons. And of course, during that time, a lot occurred as well. I lost a very close person in my life, which was my grandma. And that was like a really big pivoting point for me as well, because I saw myself doing things out of being like and being in pain from the emotional pain that I held for her being gone, and taking the actions that really truly were not good for me overall. Like every time I think about them, I mean, I'm very grateful for who I was then, but I cringe every time. I'm like, oh, why would you do that? But at the same time, I've learned lessons. Amazing, I know. But at the same time, you're like, right? That moment where you're like, oh man, those actions were not the best. Yeah. So the people that were in my life really kind of, they became a mirror to like what I was doing. So I actually had that time where I actually found like a different way of fitness, which was CrossFit. And that really helped me pivot a lot of what I was thinking for myself, because I saw the strength women truly had in a different way. So I always knew women were strong. I always knew it because my mom, like her trying to get me back after being in foster care for so long, the strength of her doing all this, like she was a mighty woman. Like I will never, ever, ever understand it. I can just see it from the outside and how I it's like there's no words for it, but I also understand now, being as a mom, how you would do anything and everything and all of it for that person that you created in the life that you have. So with that being said, all of these things I started to kind of really take. It was like weird, because I was like in my life and I was living my life, but at the same time I also was kind of looking outside in. It's like I kind of became like a bug on the wall in my own life, and I kind of began to see the actions that I was taking, and I began to see why I was doing it, and I kind of began questioning everything for myself. I was like, why did I choose that person in my life? Why did I let them in the way that I did? Or why did I do XYZ? And I started really questioning and everything like that. And during this time, actually, I met the person that I'm with and have been with for almost like 8 years now. So it kind of like really began in this form, I feel like, as a blooming time for me, but also a time of really taking a moment in of being like, who am I? What am I here for? What is my purpose? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I really kind of started noticing the actions that I were taking that I was like, oh no, these are not the best actions for me. And then of course I started acting accordingly. Yes.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
So going off of that, was this all just you self-realizing and kind of, there is no books, there is no
No, no, but
podcast, there
no,
is.
not then, not then. Like it was
That's
again.
pretty good, to
So,
be aware of that, once
well,
again, going back to like being, someone that is on a younger side.
yeah, on that age, right? And again, and because I do, like we sometimes feel like I feel like sometimes we are like, oh, there are these books that were my awakening, or there was this movie that was like my thing, or this was my thing. I actually was my own thing. Like when I started really noticing again the actions, I just like the way I felt around things, I was like, this is not how I want to feel. And now, and I would be questioning like, why am I feeling this way? And I had a lot, and again, I feel like because of all the life that I lived previously and how many lives I've lived and shed and just kept on rising as the phoenix, I started to notice. I was like, okay, this is something different, and I want to kind of just see it out. I want to see how it feels, how it is. And then I did, you know, a couple of years into it, I did find, you know, different emotional coaches and spiritual coaches and guides and supports. And, you know, I've had a little bit of everything after that stage. But at first, it was all me alone by myself, really noticing the things that were going on that didn't feel good, how I wanted my life to be a little different from what I was living, how the relationships that I had were truly a mirror to who I was and who I saw myself as in. And I saw that these friendships or the people that I was choosing weren't really choosing me. They weren't really in that space for me. And again, with CrossFit and a little bit of finding myself and really kind of going inward on me, that's how I actually began to bloom emotionally and spiritually. And then I got the support. But it always is, or I feel when I talk about, you know, the one, and I talk about something really important as being the one is embracing ourselves whole, it's like your own self-revelation of like your own life. Like, it is so important. And yes, like something becomes like maybe that thing that you're like, that was that moment, you know, like that was that one moment where I was in that awakening stage and I saw that this is no longer, but it was like, you know, little things, little by little by little. And then it was like a whoa, this is not the way I want myself to feel. And it always was like about my own self, just because I felt like I had to be surviving for so long that I knew that I was like, this is not how I want to live my life always, you know? And I'm not saying everybody's going to be like that, but it was just my own experience.
So knowing that, like, you are self-aware enough to go within, to start to question all the stuff throughout, you know, your late teens, early 20s, realizing that the health patterns that you have established are not the healthiest for you, and that the fitness, even though you love it so much, you're not treating your own self and your own sovereign being like you're treating other people. So then you find CrossFit, which is still an arena of fitness, right? Like, at what point, I guess what I'm trying to get at what point, because I know some of it was also with body image, right? And like you were saying, there was validation that you received at a young age because you started to like transform into this butterfly. So there was validation, and you said, I was the pretty one. I had air quotes there, air quotes, for those that can't see, because none of y'all can see, but we can. But anyway, so now you get to the stage in your early 20s, and then you find CrossFit, which is fitness as well, right? So you keep going with CrossFit, and then what happens?
Yeah. So what happens now is that I'm done school, right? Like I finished school. I was 23, 24 years old. It was 2016. So I finished school during that time. And I started noticing again, the patterns that I was carrying, the people that were in my life. And I started being like, okay, I got to go inward. And that's when I really started doing like a lot of inward stuff. And there was still a lot of self-inflicting, words and actions that I was doing for myself and taking, you know, negativity out on me. But it wasn't as much as I did when I was younger. It was a lot more in the space of embracing myself or learning to accept. It was actually first an acceptance that I needed for myself, an acceptance of who I was. And it was actually a forgiveness for me too, because I felt like a lot of the negativity that I gave myself or the control that I needed during the time that I was young and all the patterns, the habits that I created, the people that were in my life during the time, the actions that I took, a lot of it was, you know, the mirror of how I saw myself. And not only that, but, you know, the protection that I was trying to have, you know, like without actually showing my true self out, you know. So I talk a lot about the time that I was in high school, going through college, that, you know, I carried so many masks, and I always was able to, in a way, blend, where I had people and friends from all different stages and areas and places, because I was able to really, you know, blend with so many different people.
Relate.
Yes, it was like relating, but at the same time, it's like they didn't know who I was. You know, like I had this mask on that it was like I was
a little chameleon.
Yes, exactly. I was able to grab a little bit of what they were, who they were, and kind of just bring it to me so they can actually like me, or, you know, I can be liked. And I started noticing these things about me, and I was like, well, this is not the reality. This is not the true me. This is not who I actually want to be. And there was like, it was like a running joke with all my friends for a little bit of how like I had so many different laughs. And it makes me think of the mask that I wore. Right? Because of all the different laughs that I had and I carried, it was like the masks that were with me. So at a certain time, this laugh would come out. It was like that one mask that came out, and then the other one, and then the other one, and the other one. And they were like, a lot of them were like, you have like about 10. So I was like, oh man. And again, it was like something, now looking back at it, I was like, wow, that actually, I feel like that was like my mask at all the times that I, you know, just went through life. So during that time, it was very important for me. I felt like as I was now becoming and transitioning to through school, I actually then did start reading, you know, these like spiritual guidebooks. And in the top of my head, I can't really remember, but I do remember reading. I do have, where is it? I thought I had it with me, but it's like something about not giving a fuck. I can't remember. The Art of Not Giving a Fuck or something like that.
Yep. That's what it is.
Okay. So, So there's that one, and You're a Badass. Like during those times, like those books came out. It was like 2016, 2017, but I do remember reading them because I really wanted to kind of learn more about myself, about my inner self, because I have these inner thoughts. So I'm like, I know there's an inner me, right? So if I read these books and if I actually go deeply with my thoughts, I can change them. Like this is how it has to be, you know? And I really wanted to see myself differently. I really wanted to take different actions. I really wanted more of a different lifestyle for myself. You know, I didn't want to continue putting myself down. And I was doing a better job at it because I was going through CrossFit. I was starting to notice and tell and see like the women that go to this gym, or the males, doesn't matter the gender, but who would go, they'd feel more in power and they would stand more in power, and they would not give a fuck of how they dressed and how they looked like, right? Like if their shirt rides up when they're doing burpees, who gives a fuck? If like their shorts are like literally up their booty, like who cares, right? Like if they're doing squats and it's just like they have a wedgie, doesn't matter, right? And all these things that I started noticing, I was like, wow.
Judgment-free zone.
Yes. I was like, everything that I was worried about for so long,
have a wedgie without being judged. Yes.
Right. So things like that. So then I started, it was like slowly dropping the mask. And at the same time, like I was working because during that time, I've always had, for many years, I had like two to three jobs. It was just the way I was able to make ends meet at the time that I did. And I remember going to my job during that time, which was working with adults with like autism and the autism spectrum and everything at their house. And I remember just kind of paying attention to them and being like, I cannot continue being negative towards myself, you know, when there are other people in the world, you know, going through such hardships, and then they're just so happy with themselves. Like they don't even care. They're like, this is wonderful. This is what I like. And this is what I want. And this is what I'm going to get. Like, this is where we are. And I don't know. I felt like that during that time, it was like a very healing time as well, because I was able to help others out and not so much just look at myself. And I was able to actually dive into my books, and I was able to, you know, begin to really, really focus on like kind of the connection between like my mind, my body, my spirit, like how it all connected. Like it wasn't something that was a here and there. It was all a connection. And I was able to do that. So it was a little bit of everything. So as you can tell, it was a little bit of CrossFit, but then it was a little bit of that self-awareness that I knew I wanted and I had. Something that I always have talked about is to never shut that down, to never quiet it down. Like if you have something and you have something within you to say, you know, like I stopped doing that because for a long time I did. I shut myself down. I shut my emotions because I wanted to protect and I wanted to survive. But it was that time where I was like, I'm no longer just wanting to survive, but I actually want to open myself and I want to surrender to the world and to myself. Actually, I wanted to surrender to me first and foremost, and seeing how it all unfolded after that.
Yeah, you know, that's awesome.
I have two questions. Well, I have a question, but one thing I would like to say to the listeners is not everybody is like your experience. Like for me, it took me to like 39, 40 for my awakening and for my transition, you know, I would say. So that's so beautiful that early on that you actually like knew that. We're very similar because in grade school and high school, people would be drawn to me and tell me like their deepest, darkest secrets. And I was sitting there at this young age going, what? Why? Like, why do they trust me? Who am I that they're coming to me? I was like the shoulder to cry on or, you know, and so that happened early on. So, you know, in high school, I was like, maybe I want to be a therapist or a counselor or something. No, I went into being a hairstylist, but whatever. And then coach later. But so, you know, just so the listeners know that, you know, not very many people out there have this gift early on, and that's okay. So you may come into this later in life, and that's all good. I think it's absolutely beautiful that you had that so early, like, wow. And do you mind me asking, like, prior to like foster care, like what happened? Like, are you open to talking about?
Yeah. So I'm very open, and it's just something that I also have thought of, like, as a healing, you know, like as a healing for myself to speak about, you know, my story, because my story is one that matters and everybody's story matters. So yeah, so thank you for asking that. And I want to say for sure, like, I am one of I'm not going to say I'm the only one, because I've seen others as well, but it does happen. Sometimes it takes years and years and years of just, you know, just doing your own thing, kind of just looking at that outcome of life and then being awakened and being like, what am I doing? Like, what is going on? Right. And for me, it was just at that time that it did. And I'm grateful for it now because of, you know, I am a mom now and everything. And it really makes a huge difference in my life. But I remember, so I was 6, 7. So when I grew up in Colombia, so I was born in Colombia, I grew up in Colombia, and I pretty much lived with my mom, as like a single mom, but my mom was actually married. So she was married during that time, but my dad, or who I thought was my dad at that time, that's a whole other story for another time, but who she was married to, he actually lived in the United States. So he lived in the United States and they got married. And then, you know, they just weren't together during that time. Like, they were married, everything. They were a couple, but he was just in America trying to, you know, make it for his family or whatever his outcome was during that time.
Which is pretty common back then, I think, for like immigrants and stuff. Cause I know, like, I'm from Poland, and there are many times where a spouse would come out and be here for like 4 years, even if not longer.
Exactly. You know they're trying to ask for their spouse, so that's what he was doing. He was asking for my mom, and it just, I think it took under 10 years for her to become a permanent resident. Like, she had her visa, but it was like during that time where it takes a little longer. It was in the 1990s. So it was like a long time, late 1980s, 1990s. I was born 1994. But yes, so during that time, we got to think it was like 1999, like 2000, but I was really young and I really wanted to come to America. And during the time, I really had an idyllic childhood. I had a beautiful childhood. I loved my childhood in Colombia. I remember, a lot of beautiful memories. It was the most amazing time, and I was so grateful for it, you know. And I really, during the time that I was in foster care, I really just, you know, kept that image and that thought in me every day just to keep going, because of how hard it was when I came here, you know. So before I went into foster care, a lot happened during that time. So it was about 2001. So it was 2001, and I was 7 years old, and I just told my mom, I was like, oh, you know, I really want to be with my dad, who I thought was at that time, and it was her husband. And she was like, I don't know how this would look like or how it would be. He wouldn't move back to Colombia, of course. He wanted to stay here. He was creating a life. He was like, it's going to be better for Melissa. It's going to be better for you. It's going to be better for us. So, you know, she pretty much just was like, you know, I love my husband. I love my family. I love you. Like, we're going to do this. We're going to try this out together. And previously they had not lived together. So they didn't know how it really was. Like, they got married. They knew each other. They were from the same town, but they never really lived the marriage. Mm-hmm. Right. So it was like they knew each other. They vacation together, they, you know, they live specific time together, but never really saw themselves in the deepest ends, you know,
whole different ballgame.
And who I am in, like, I am like 7 years old. I don't know anything about that. All I want to do is be with the person that I knew was like my father by back then. I was like, he's my dad. You're my mom. Why aren't we together? Let's just be together. Right.
Yeah.
Who knows? So, you know, being just the child that I was, and then my mom was like, yes, I'll give you that. So, you know, she retired from teaching and she came to America. You know, our first month in the country was amazing. It was just beyond, like, he was incredible. Like, we were incredible. It was a whole nine yards. And then, like, the dream just kind of just like evaporated slowly, but, you know, just slowly little things started happening. Their cohabiting just wasn't really matching. And apart from that, he was also going through alcoholism. So he was going through an addiction with that. And it just became, you know, an emotional turmoil. And my mom was just like, I did not come to this country for this. Like, this was not, it, like, we did not speak about, like, I cannot believe this is happening. But my mom, you know, at the end of the day, she sought help, and not speaking the language, not knowing who was what in this country, but she was like, I'm gonna make it work with my daughter. So this was right before 9/11, I think. Like, I remember I was still with my mom when 9/11 happened. And interestingly enough, it was something that, you know, like, it was that moment and pivot that, I don't know, like, the whole world just went upside down, and so did our life, you know? So it was very concerning in all the ways, because now my mom didn't have a job. My mom didn't know how she was going to make it work. My mom knew nothing. She didn't know the language, nothing at that time. But slowly but surely, we found people that were able to help us. Some people were able to, you know, help her get a job, and she got a job working as, like, cleaning offices. That's like a big thing when you're an immigrant. You kind of do whatever.
My mom did that for 30 years.
Yeah, you do anything and everything, and mm-hmm. all of it is for the people that you love, you know. So I
no
knew
shame in it.
No, hell no. Hell no. Mm-hmm. So by that time I was 7 and I was starting to go to school. And I do remember, again, I was home when 9/11 happened. So I was still home by September. But I think during that time, maybe at the end of September, I started going to school. I started, you know, learning the language and everything to that extent. And during the time, of course, my mom was going through emotional turmoil. She was trying to figure out what to do. Her husband at that time was really trying to get back home, but he just wouldn't change his ways. And it was just very difficult. You know, there was times and moments where he would come at night and just, you know, scream out everything and on everything under the sun. And thankfully, you know, it didn't escalate. But of course, during that time, it was also very scary. It doesn't take away from how we felt during that time, right? Yeah. So during that time, she met someone, and that person, sadly, was someone that actually ended up being one of the reasons I went into foster care. And he actually ended up doing something to me and to us, you know, just to us. And it was something that, you know, would change the course of my life. But at the end of the time, it also would shape who I was and who mm-hmm. shaped what I am today, you know. And I have forgave him. I have, you know, let him go. I have healed from it. And I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful for it. But it also made me grow up. It made me grow up. It made me not be a child anymore, which was, it's so sad. I really want, like, for example, with my son, I want him to take all his time, and I will do anything and everything for him to have his full childhood, unlike I did when I was 7. So after I was 7, it happened. And then a couple months later, I remember I was home alone just for like a sliver of time. And someone from DSS came, and I didn't know what was going on. I was by myself, but I was waiting for someone to babysit me. She just had a time that she would come home. And this person just knew what time to come. And then I ended up finding out the reasons why when I was older. But she came and she spoke to me, and I had not spoken about what had been happening in my time in my life with my mom's like boyfriend at that time. But then I told her, and you know, it opened a case and everything like that. But I don't know why I felt compelled to talk to her. I don't know. I was 7 years old, but she asked me like, is everything okay? And I said, yes. And then I said, no. And then she was just asking questions, and then it becomes overwhelming, and then everybody's here. And it was just like, yeah, a whole thing. And then I, right then and there, that's when I went to foster care. I went through the foster system. Of course, they had to set out what was going on. What was happening? Was this true? Was this actually occurring? Like X, Y, Z, X, you know, like making everything through the case. Now my mom is fighting for me. And now her husband as well is fighting for me for custody, finds out what happens. And it's just like a battle against one another. During that time, it was just like a dark, dark time. But yeah, at the same time, I was grateful because the foster parents, she was a single mom, but a foster parent actually took me in, and she was Colombian, and it kind of gave me a little bit of hope, and it also gave me a little bit of comfort to be with someone that also was from the same culture. And I was thankful as well because she was an amazing foster mom, you know. But who I am really was shaped before who, you know, before everything happened. And I'm grateful for the time that I did have in Colombia and all the childhood that I had, and I knew how to love, and I knew how to just really kind of just hold on to that. And I knew it was possible for me to hold on to that. And I know not everybody has this thought or has this happen or whatever, you know, like I just knew that I wanted to be someone good in the world, and I knew I wanted to embrace myself, and I just held on to faith. I just held on to myself, and I knew that I could hold on to my peace, and I could hold on to myself even though so much was taken. I could also just, you know, be true to myself. And during that time, you know, as I was growing up, everybody always asked me like, how are you so like, just, it just looks like you're so old and in like mind and in like wisdom, but you're so young in age, like how does this happen? And I'm just like, I never was able to explain. I don't know. It's always who I've been. Mm-hmm. But I feel like because of that, I actually was able to see a lot of what was going on, even though I was a child, a lot of it of what was going on, I was able to see it in a different light. And yeah, I was 13, 14 years old when I went back with my mom. I think it was like seventh grade, however old you are in seventh grade, I don't remember. But it was like seventh, eighth grade where I went back with my mom. And after that, yeah, it's like a different life, and it all began differently. And again, I started really focusing now on myself, on my health, and on what I wanted for me. Again, being a way to control myself through the time that I was not able to control anything, you know, from yeah, 7 to about 12, 13 years old, I wasn't able to control anything in my life. Everything was everyone else's control. So that was the way. And yeah, it just kind of happened that way. But that's wow, a lot of what happened.
Oh my God, Melissa. Like I had bumps listening to your story. Like I have thank you for sharing and trusting us and being on this with us and sharing that. Like I truly didn't know. I didn't know your story at all.
Thank you for listening.
So that's deep. Okay. That's deep. Now, did you ever kind of get around like drugs and alcohol because of that? Or did anything happen? Like, you know how when we go
I'm sometimes I never was drawn to it because I always knew how negative it was. So when I saw it, but I didn't know until I was like seven. Like, I really feel like that month that I was with my mom's ex-husband and the dad who I grew up with, right? Like, I saw what it did to him, and I knew I never wanted that. And I knew that was never my way. Mm-hmm. I knew it. I was like, this is not the way that I'm ever ever going to do life, like ever. Like I knew it. And even though it was only a month, and even though he, you know, the XYZ, like I just knew by that time, I was like, this is not what I want. And it's never been, like, it's never been. I can count with maybe, and two hands is a lot. I can count the times that I've been, you know, kind of inebriated, like to the point that, you know, I'm throwing up and stuff. It did happen one time when my grandmother passed away. And I felt during that time that maybe this was the time. And interesting enough, the universe was like, no, let me show you how that's not the way, you know? And then from there, I really was like, okay, Melissa, you know, I was intuitive with myself before knowing that I was intuitive with myself.
Right. That sounds like it for sure.
Yeah. So for me, I was like, this is not the way. And I felt it. And of course, again, made the choices, took the lessons and everything. And I was like, this is not the way, Melissa, you know better. And I've learned better. So I never really went through that stage, but I did go through the phase of where I, you know, control myself with health. That was my thing.
Drunk.
You know, that was the way. Yeah. That was like the way that I was able to be obsessed, to be in control of something, you know, or to numb a lot of what I went through in my lifetime, was just for me to focus solely on fitness, and just for me to focus solely on the calories that I would take, just for me to focus solely on how many calories I would burn throughout the day. Like that was what got me through. And at the end of the day, of course, developed many negative habits, but at the end also saved me. It's like a weird thing, right? Because it's like it's something that saved me, but at the same time something that really taught me so many lessons. And at the same time, it actually was what brought a lot of what I have now in my life, what brought the person that I'm with in my life, was because of the gym. So it's a lot of different things kind of put together. It's amazing. And then it's also like, what? It's, I don't know, all of that. But yeah, so I never turned to alcohol and drugs, and I never felt called to it. And the same thing with like any drugs or anything. I mean, the most that I've done is like weed, and that's as far as I will ever go.
You came in as a freaking warrior. I mean, right in here, right? I mean, bam, 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 bam. And you kept going. It's so beautiful. Like again, hard, but beautiful and so strong. Like,
thank you.
Yeah, girl.
Yeah. Yeah, so many. Yeah, like, you know, when you go through it, you don't know what you don't see what others see. So for example, like you saying all these things, I'm like, I understand them, but I don't I just was like, I just was living, I was just surviving any other day. And then I felt like I just didn't want to survive anymore in life. And then I was like, I wanted something different. But it does. Yes. Now looking back at it, and you guys speaking about it too, and I'm like, okay, yeah, it wasn't as easy as I, in my mind, know that it wasn't, if that makes sense.
You are just strong, because think about how many 7-year-olds back then, they're not like that. We talk about 3D, 4D, 5D, and many of us start out as 3D and we're in there. So like, it's hard for us. And then we're sad and we're depressed and we think about suicide and we turn to drugs and alcohol and all that stuff. But like, you were so in your knowing in 5D at a young age. That's why I'm saying, like, you are an old soul. And a lot of listeners don't understand when you said in the very beginning about you live many lives. So some people don't understand that, and that could be for another podcast, but you know, it's kind of like if you have deja vu, which a lot of us do, we've lived many lives. So again, that'll be another podcast, but you really came in with all of your knowings and understandings from many lives and came into this one like, bam, we're going to do this in this lifetime. And you know, we're going to get this right.
Yeah. I felt like, interesting enough, you saying that, yes, it was like, I could just not give up, you know. And I also saw like how much my mom, you know, did for me and how much she went through. And I was like, I cannot just take my life and just kind of just blow it in the wind. Like that was never a possibility. That was never something, just because I was like, she fought for me for so long. I went through all of this. Like, I've gone through this. Like, I know there has to be something better on the other side. I just know it with all my heart, all my mind. Like, I know there's a better way to live, to be able to, you know, be in the world. Like, I just knew it. And again, you're saying it's because of that knowing. I've always had and held that deep knowing. I always held a very close relationship with myself without knowing I was holding a close relationship with myself. And it wasn't until, you know, when I was able to now in my early 20s look at what I was, my own revelations, my own awakening, my own inner awareness, where I was like, oh my gosh, like this is actually a lot of what I actually want to do in the world and support others. And not only that, but like, this is like a game changer. This is life changing, and I can help others and I can support others. I can, you know, do all these different things in the life. So kind of, it was like that. It's so interesting because again, this is my life and I just never, you never see it. You know, you just go about it and you're just like, I'm just going to keep going. I'm just going to keep going. And it was always like that. So even when I was in foster care, I don't think many people knew that I was in foster care when I was little, because again, it was something that was like, yes, a part of my life, but it wasn't something that I was ever going to let, like, I just knew it was going to work out. I didn't know how it was going to work, but I was like, it's going to work out. We're going to see it through.
So gift. Look at that. Like, you just knew.
Like, yeah. I don't know how.
Well, most people that would
none of our business to know how.
Right, exactly. Right?
It's just like, you just know it. So but yeah, thank you for reminding me that.
Think about this though. When you really talk to people like that, maybe, which, because we're all about like your story, like tell me your story. And like a lot of people will actually, their stories like either make them or break them. And a lot of them are still kind of living where the story is breaking them. And they're like still living in that victim mode. And it's just like, oh, it's horrible in my childhood and this, that, but not you. Like, and I mean, my God, Melissa, like what you've gone through, and like, you're sitting here like this bright light, you're smiling and you're like, yeah, like I just knew, like, whatever. I just kept going, like, holy shit.
Girl, I've had those reactions. Yeah, I had those reactions. You say that interestingly enough, because I've actually with the new position that I hold with my full time, I have people that I work with 12 hours every day with. And, you know, I've gotten closer and closer to the people. So I feel more and more comfortable speaking about like who I was before and my life before, et cetera, et cetera. And I remember telling one of my male friends, and he was like, what? Like, it like took him out. He was like, Melissa, what? Like, he was like, how do you, like, there was like, he couldn't even say the words. And I was like, yeah, it's just like something that I went through. And he was like, no, you just don't go through it. Like, he was just like, what? Like, how are you this happy? Or how are you like this, like, sane? And I'm like, what? I mean, it's not a big deal. And he's like, it is. But you know,
yes, it is.
And I say it, and it's a huge deal, of course. Like, I will never take away from all of what I've lived in my life. Like, all of it has been lesson and they have shaped me. And of course, I went through a lot of inner work, and I've done so much inner work around it. There's been countless mornings, countless nights, countless afternoons where I've cried, where I really dove deep into my inner work, you know, where I really sit down with my own self, with my own feelings, with how I'm feeling during that time. And they actually resurfaced when a lot of it resurfaced, and a lot of it has been healed because of my son, because of the person that I brought into this world, knowing that I also didn't want them to have what I had, because and not in a negative way, like, of course I want him to have the strength, I want him to have all of this inner knowing for himself, but it's really also being a caregiver, a protector. And I was like, the way that I can protect him is by being my best self, and not only that, but being my healed self, the one who surrenders, the one who opens to herself, who allows herself to embrace all of who she is at the phase that she's in, at the season she's in her life, and that can also show him that he is capable, that he is possible. Like, every single day he tells me, he's like, Mama, I'm so strong. Mama, I am so, so smart. Mama, I am so, and he loves to say so he's like, Mama, I am so, so, so smart. I am so, so, so handsome. I am. And he tells me every day what I've told him ever since he was born, that he was worthy, that he was more than enough, that he was deserving, that he embraced himself. Like, he embraces himself every single day. And I hope to continue building that because of all of it. So, you know, like, I would go through every single shit that I would go, that I went through every single day in my lifetime to have him again, you know, like, oh, he's the crying, but I would do everything over again. I would go through it all over again just so he could be born again.
So interesting. You have not cried once telling your story.
It's always a child. It's always him. Always.
You
little
guys,
bear.
Woo, yes. You are change makers. You were the ones that came in. What a powerful team that you guys are going to be together. Yeah. And the fact that, like, you really didn't have the father figure growing up. Here's your son stepping in, and now he's going to be the one. And goosebumps everywhere. Nice. I feel your heart.
Yes. Wow. Yeah, always gets me. Like, that's the one. It's always him. Like, I start telling my bear story, I start telling my son's, it just always happens. And it's, I feel too, because of how much healing I've done for myself and how much I've opened myself up to, like, seeing everything for what happened or what occurred, but also being able to, it was like, it's letting it go, but also being able to speak on it in the sense that, you know, it's a story to tell, and it's an inspiration to also give to others. It's a gift. It's a gift to talk about your story. It's a gift to be able to bring it out to the world and for others to listen. You know, like, you women are like, you're here, you're listening. It's like, we're like with a cup of coffee right now, you know, like, just talking, yeah, just ripping it out. Like, I know this is going to go out in the world and everything, but it really is like just us, like, being in this circle of womanhood and just allowing ourselves to just bear here, to be bare, like, you know, like, hearts out, you know, like, doesn't matter, emotions out, like, here we go, this is our story, this is who we are, and this is how we're embracing ourselves, and it's a way to embrace us. And one way that when we embrace us, we also embrace our story. And, you know, I refuse to ever let my story or be something that stops me from living life, you know, and that's something that I always will hold high. And I hope one day, you know, I do have this story with my son, and I can tell him about what mama went through in her life. And I will always, you know, always remind him that I will go through it all over again, just so he can be here. So every choice that I've made, every lesson that I took in, everything that happened, like, I can just have him, like, yes, I will go through it all over again, because I've had that question, be like, if you could change anything, would you change anything? And honestly, I am good. No, no, I am good.
I could see him in his 30s and 40s and be like, this is my mom. And he's like, I could just see this vision ahead. I'm like, wow. Like, oh, and you know, I just want the listeners to know that, like, your story, their story, all of the stuff that we've gone through, it fucking matters.
All
Don't
of it.
Be afraid to share your story, yeah, because your story could be the game changer for somebody else going, oh my God, Melissa understands, like, wow, like, I went through that, and right, and like, wow, maybe I do matter. Maybe my story does matter. All of our stories matter, and we share them in hopes to help other people out there that life doesn't suck.
Yes. Yes, exactly. You know, and you just reminded me too, on how he actually does tell me all the time. He's like, mama, you're my superwoman. You're my superwoman. Mm-hmm. So he reminds me every day that I am his superwoman. So it's like, it's something that I just will never, you know, give up on. But also, it's like a reminder to self. It's a reminder to self to also see myself as one, to also see the capabilities that I hold, the oneness that I hold within, the truth that I hold for myself, the power that I hold for myself. And even though I developed it really early in my life, really early stages of my life and my world, it's also possible for anybody during any time of their life to say, I want something different. I want to choose something different. And I always talk about something called courageous faith, where you're being courageous with your own life, saying you do want something different, but also holding the faith that it is possible, holding the faith in the knowingness of yourself. Because at the end of the day, the most faithful thing is really, truly, like, embracing yourself. It's like really knowing you without even seeing the evidence, you know, without ever seeing evidence of of it working, of it not working, like without ever seeing it. It's like you holding yourself up to the most utter, you know, like belief that you are worthy, that you are enough, that you are deserving, that you are capable, that you can change the world, you know. And it doesn't have to be in a grand gesture what everybody thinks it needs to be, and it doesn't have to be in a stage where thousands of people are watching. But what if it's a stage where one person is watching and you can help them change their life, and then from there it becomes that ripple effect of that one person can become two, and then that two people can become four, six, eight.
Yeah.
So it's something that I feel like I always go out in, and I feel like no matter where I am or no matter what I do in my life, no matter how life is lifing, I always take that with me, you know, in any stage of my life, have it be online on social media, have it be in my world, in like in person where you are just meeting me in person and we're just saying hi every day. I hope that someone always takes that with them.
Mm-hmm. And I think one thing I wanted to go back to, you were saying something about seeing through eyes. And I think it's important that, for example, that we see ourselves through our children's eyes, but we also see ourselves the way we see our children.
Oh my gosh, that is so, yes, that is so true. And that actually went through a lot of my own deeper healing, because it was a whole rebirth, you know, having my son, and then my body completely changed. It has been a changed body, and a body where, you know, it gave life, and I've never been able to understand it. I still don't understand it. It's amazing. It's incredible. And I'm also grateful that I was able to be a space holder, a world holder for someone coming into the world. And then being like, you know, like understanding that, and also allowing myself to embrace it as well. And of course, I've had very difficult seasons, very difficult times, but then I see how he sees me. And it's like, man, it makes me, sometimes it makes me cry. Like, people are like, are you crying? I'm like, yes, because I know that. Like, because I always think, you know, I'm always thinking, oh, how much he loves me. I'm always thinking how much he reminds me he loves me. And I'm like, damn, I gave him that too. Like, I've always, always, always cherished that with him. I was so, 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 so grateful. I was able to spend 2.5 years, our time together in, just together, like just him and I all the time, every day, every hour, you know. And even though it was very hard season, it was during the time of COVID and everything like that, it actually allowed us to have such a deep connection that we hold, you know. And he just, every day he just reminds me how much he loves me. And every day he does not only remind me, but he also reminds, you know, his dad, and he reminds like the people close to him. And it's truly a gift to have, to be able to see the nurture that you have give to someone else, and how they take it, how they interpret it, and then how they bring it out to the world their own way.
So this is very difficult to end, and we got to wrap up. And it's like it was last week's too. It was such an amazing story with Megan. And again, here we are, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to stop, but we stop. We're at the, but oh my gosh. Like, okay. So before we end, and we can always have you back on and finish up more and everything. By the way, tell the listeners, where do you have your own podcast?
Yes. So I have a little bit of everything. So I still, even though I work full time, I still carry a lot of what I do in my business. It's all online. I have been taking a step back, but also this is why I have a podcast currently. It's an exclusive podcast under my Facebook group at this current moment. It's not completely public because I wanted to be something that was a little different than what we had, because again, being full time position, I am at this time not able to do a lot of the live events that I used to. So having a podcast and having just people just be there in my space, it feels wonderful to create and have and hold and just bring it out to the world that way. So it's called Embrace Yourself Whole, and you can actually find it with my Facebook group, which is called Sacred Haven. I think Sacred Rain. Oh my gosh, it's Sacred Rain. But it's called
That's okay. We know how that goes.
Okay, perfect. So it's called Sacred Rain, a heaven with the one within, right? So it's really speaking on being the one, embracing yourself whole through activations, through different meditations, et cetera, et cetera. It's kind of like that spiritual thing. And I don't speak so much on my journey with it, but I feel like you can see a lot of what I've been through, or you can hear a lot of my wisdom come through all from all my experiences, through all my transmissions that I have at this podcast. So I have that. And then of course I have my Instagram, my Facebook. It's somewhere that I also like to play in. I love to like just be there. I love to create videos for Instagram, etc. I have been taking a little bit of a step back at this current moment with the season that I'm in. I'm kind of getting ready everything for the next step in our life. And it's something incredible and amazing. So I'm like in that surrender season where I am allowing myself to just be open to what it is, and just allowing, you know, just life to unfold. So I'm taking a little bit of a step back, but of course I always do post a couple times during the week so everybody can kind of see my inner musings and what's occurring in my life and a little bit of wisdom that I carry every day. So you can kind of see that on Instagram, which is like Melissa Mejia Official. So you can find that there. Or again, you can go on my Facebook group, and that's kind of where I like to play in as well. And you can listen to my podcast, which is Embrace Yourself Whole. And we are under episode 8. It's coming today. It's actually coming out today. But yeah, so you can kind of do that. Want to a little bit more of that.
Well, and we'll add that to the show notes. We'll get it from you and we'll put it in the show notes.
Yay. So any bit last before we go, any advice for the listeners?
Oh my gosh. Any advice? Okay. Let me sit with that for a second. I would say trust your knowing, trust yourself. No matter what, no matter what you go through life, it's like, it's always you with you, always you with you. That's where the one has come in. That's where it's risen from, to trust yourself, to know yourself, to own yourself, to claim yourself. It's the most important thing you could ever do for yourself, and life will always but it's on us to really have that courageous faith to believe in us first, when the world may not, when people around you may not always know that you can believe in you.
Beautiful. Melissa, thank you so much for being on today and sharing your journey. I mean, it was that was powerful.
Thank you so much. Yes. For having me. Thank you so much for giving me the space where I can share my story once again, and for others to see that, you know, we can go through so many different things in our lifetime and we can still rise. Like, we can still rise, we can still show up, we can still say yes. And, you know, I know that there's many out there that may feel like they can't, or they may feel like it's not possible, they may feel like they're a burden, et cetera, et cetera. But again, believe in yourself, open yourself to believing in you, open yourself to seeing that it could change, that it could be different. And it's because you have chosen yourself and you have said yes to you where it could all change, you know?
Thank you. That's beautiful and amazing. And, you know, for listeners as well, Melissa's story is so powerful, as Jenny said. And what I wanted to also add, maybe not maybe to do with your story, but I wanted to remind our listeners that we thank them for tuning in. We thank them for listening and being with us on this journey. We really appreciate you. And if you have a moment, give us a review. We always, always depend on that. This is how we spread the word and this beautiful story. I mean, if you think about what we just heard, as Jenny was saying and Melissa was saying, like if this could touch just like one person and make a difference in like one individual's life, where that light bulb moment just boom turns on and they're on a different trajectory in their life, it's worth it. So spread the word, people. Spread the word. We love you. We appreciate you. And Melissa, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jenny. Thank you so much, Margaret, for having me. It was incredible. It was amazing. I can't wait to continue maybe this conversation or have a new entirely, but it was amazing. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Until next time, we love you all and see you next week.
Bye.